coming again to you with the gospel of Jesus the Christ under the heading Demonology, the Devil and Demons. Hallelujah. Last week we talked to you about the fact that demons, the relationship between the work of demons and sickness and disease. And so we'll proceed with that today. Demons cause sickness and disease. They do. Now, we're not saying that every sickness or every disease is caused by a demon, but some diseases are. And the Bible makes it quite plain. So let's remind ourselves of that. There are natural causes of disease, germs, things like that. And then there are spiritual causes of disease. And we told you a couple Sundays ago that all of it can be boiled down to the devil. Because before he showed up, there was nothing wrong with this entire universe. Everything was good. Until iniquity was found in him. And things have gone haywire since then. And have to be redeemed. So, Mark chapter 7, verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee. Verse 32, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. Deaf, he couldn't speak clearly. And they asked him to pray for him. Verse 33, he took him aside. Why did he do that? To the context of faith. You can't exercise faith when there's unbelief all around you. That's why he did that. Not even Jesus would do that. So he took him aside. You remember now, sometimes you go to someone's house and tell everybody to get out of the room. All the relatives, get out, get out. Just mom and dad and my disciples. To create an atmosphere of agreement. Huh? Faith agreement. That's why he did that. And so then he put his finger into his ears, verse 33. Spotting on his finger, put on the man's tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed. Like, oh, I can't wait until I go to the cross, shed my blood, effect the plan of redemption, and all of this mess goes away. That's what he was thinking. That's why he sighed. Ah, thank you, Lord. And he has done it. He's already done that. Amen. And he said unto him, Ephrata, which means be opened. And straightway his ears were open, and his tongue was loose, and the man spake plainly, could hear. No mention of spirits or demons here at all. So this must have been caused. Must have been a natural cause. On the other hand, just two chapters later, chapter number 9, verse 14, there is mention of a spirit. A demon was involved in this case. Okay, verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude. He just come down from the transfiguration and so forth. Okay, and there was a whole bunch of commotion going on. What's going on? He said. Okay. Verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto your disciples my son, which hath a dumb spirit. How did he know that? Because his son behaved unnatural. That's why. He knew it. He could tell. This is not natural. Something's got a hold of my son. So he called it a dumb spirit. Spirit made him dumb. He did some other things. And he describes all the things he did. Verse 19. And he answered and says unto him, I'm trying to save time here now. We've read this last week, so I'm just trying to get to the gist of it. Look at verse 21. And he asked the father, how long is it ago since this came unto your child? And he said, since he was a child. And then describe what happened. And oftentimes it, the demon that is, has cast him into the fire, trying to kill him. Now you know, when you start casting yourself into the fire, that's not natural, right? you stay away from the fire. The demon did that. And into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can't do anything, please help. Jesus said, it's not up to me, it's up to you. Do you believe? Okay? in verse 24, and straightway the father of the child said, yeah, Lord, help my unbelief. Verse 25, and when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked, which means to sternly charge. He rebuked the foul spirit that was causing the dumbness and all the other problems, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit. And so in this case, a spirit or a demon was involved. Amen. Amen. Demons cause disease, among other hell that they raise. Amen. We told you that demons can affect auditory nerves and cause deafness in one or both ears. Demons can also get involved with some other body parts, like optic nerves, and cause blindness. We already gave you those scriptures. Okay? Now, here's where we start today. 50% of epileptic seizures are caused by natural causes, we're told. By a burst of abnormal electrical activity in the brain, resulting from underlying factors like genetics, brain injuries, stroke, infections, tumors, or other structural or metabolic problems, we're told. However, the other 50%, medical science does not know. For about half of the individuals with epilepsy, the exact cause remains unknown. Well, look at Luke chapter 9. Bible indicates that in some cases, again, I didn't say all cases, in some cases, there is a demon involved. And like I've said before, I'll say it again, if a demon is involved, it has to be cast out. Or help will not come to the victim. Verse 37. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met them. And behold, the man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him. How did he know that? But all natural things that happen. And he suddenly cried out, and it tears him, throws him around, tosses him back and forth, and so on. And then the process, and then comes again. This happens, occasionally. It happens, you can't predict when it happens. And I besought your disciples to cast him out. They could not. Jesus said, oh, firstly, on regeneration. And then, notice that in this case, a spirit is involved. Let me slow down. Let's see here. Okay, Luke 9. Am I in the right place? Luke 9? Yeah. Okay. Go back to verse 39. And lo, a great spirit taken him, and he suddenly cried out, and he cheered him that he foameth again. Foaming and all that is usually accompanies an epileptic episode or seizure. And so this is what this indicates here. And bruising him hardly depart from him, and I besought of his apples, it happened, they could not, and they would not. Look at verse 42. And as he was yet a coming, the devil acted and threw him down and tear him. But if he only knew, he shouldn't have done it at that time. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. So in this case, this epileptic episode was due to an unclean spirit. And he healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Okay? And so we know that in some cases, demons cause physical ailment. Okay? Right there in Luke, look at Luke 13. I mean, these are things that should be preached and talked about. So the people of God would know how to deal with it, because he told us one of the things that's supposed to follow believers is that they can cast out devils. So you have to know how the devil operates in order to carry out that instruction. Look at verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Okay? 18 years. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself. She walked all those years just looking at the dirt. Couldn't lift herself up. Physical condition. And when Jesus saw this, he called her and said, "Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity." Remember now, this is caused by a spirit. And of course, the religious leader got all upset, and, you know, don't do this on the Sabbath day and all that. Okay? Verse 15, Jesus chastised the hypocrite. And then look at verse 16. It says, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound?" Satan had caused her to not be able to look up all those 18 years. Satan was responsible for the fact she was bent over. And Jesus said, "I have come to set her free." It doesn't matter if it's on the Sabbath day. She ought to be free because she's a daughter of Abraham. Amen. So here's a physical condition again caused by a demon. Amen. Amen. Now, not only physical conditions, but also mental conditions can be caused by demons. Every time I say that, I have a sense that it's probably not politically correct for a minister of the gospel to talk so much about demons, but it's all over the Bible. Are we going to cut those pieces and throw them away? Mark chapter 5, we read this before. This person in Gadara who was so demonized, he was cutting himself. Right? Now you know that's unnatural. You know that's unnatural. Listen to me, young person. You hear voices telling you to cut yourself, that's a demon. Tell it, "No, I won't do that." Yeah, you can talk to it. You can talk back to it. "No, I won't do that. Leave me in Jesus' name." And then we get born again. Say, "Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior." So you can have the right relationship with Jesus to talk to demons in his name and have them leave you alone. Amen. Amen. Here's a man who was bound up. You know, they bound him up with verse 4 because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains and they just couldn't keep him bound. He broke it. He has supernatural energy and strength. Verse 5. "And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tomb crying and cutting himself." That's the devil. That's a demon. Like I said, we read this before. Jesus came and the man got delivered. I want to point out to you that he was not physically ill, right? He was mentally not there. Which is why, you know, he did those things himself. Look at when he was all sitting down, look at verse number 17. "And they began to pray Jesus to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed with him that he might..." No, that's not what I want to show you. Let me find that verse. Look at verse number 15. "And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind." So this was a mental problem, not a physical one. Nonetheless, that too was caused by the devil. Legion, the name of the demon, the chief demon. And he brought some other lesser demons. The word legion with anything from 6,000 to who knows. Remember, the demons don't take up any space, right? I mean, you know, you could have, let's just illustration purposes, you could have 10,000 demons just here, in my close hand. So don't think about space. They don't take up any space because they are spirits. Evil spirits, but they are spirits. Okay? And so, mental issue. Now that takes us to, you know, the issue of mental health. We heard a lot about that lately. In the old days, people with mental health were put in institutions, right? Where they were served and so forth. And of course, it became expensive. And so governments began to close down those institutions. Because they invented a drug or two, and now they decided, you know what, we can treat these individuals on an outpatient basis. Well, that didn't work. You know what, it didn't work. I know it didn't work. So they closed down all the institutions, released these folks. Well, where did they go? To their families? Well, they couldn't hold down a job, right? And so here they are, out in the streets. That's what led to the rampant homelessness we have now. And then, of course, that leads to drug addiction. It makes the mental issues worse. And then we get into violence. Back in the day, you know, some people are mentally not there, but they're not particularly a danger to anybody, right? We're talking Alzheimer's disease and can't remember who is whom and all that. They're not really a danger to anybody. And now we're getting to where that folks who are mentally not there are committing, you know, violent crimes. Things have gotten worse. They should have kept them in those institutions and served them there. But they really got too expensive. Money over services to human beings. Of course, like we've said, in some cases, these are just not natural causes. Demons are involved in it. Now, note that believers can also be affected, right? Oh, yeah. Believers can be physically affected. Let me remind you now, Luke 13. Remember, Jesus said of that woman, she is a daughter of Abraham. That means she was a person of faith back in the day. Luke chapter 13, right? Jesus said, verse 16, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound? So evidently, Satan can bind believers. Should not be able to, but can be given access. You recall, do you not? In Matthew 16, let's look at that. When Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And so now they say some stuff. And then he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up, right? And said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, I'm telling you this story while I'm telling you to leave, go with it. But you know it. I just want to show you what it says. And Jesus commended Peter. Wow, Peter, you heard from heaven. Right? He said, verse 17, Matthew 16, 17. Jesus said, wow, Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, not for humans. Didn't tell you this. My Father revealed this to you. And then it says some more things to Peter and so on. And then you drop down to verse 32. All of a sudden, Peter goes from hearing from heaven to hearing from a demon. Peter, a believer. Verse 22. Then Peter took Jesus aside, began to rebuke him, saying, you know, be far from me, Lord, from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he, Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, he was looking at Peter and talking to the demon that had been talking through Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. So obviously, believers can be affected, right? The devil can access your body or your mind if you let him. But you don't have to. Amen? Amen. I said you don't have to. Glory to God. Now, believers can also be affected, not just physically and mentally, but also spiritually in this sense. Religious demons are quite involved in deceiving believers. Again, if you let them, look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And this is more prevalent than it ought to be. But again, it can't be helped. We're never at the mercy of any demon because we have the name. First Timothy chapter 4, look at verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy 4, 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly, in other words, plainly, where anybody can get it, that in the last days, some will depart from the faith. Well, how are you going to depart from the faith if you've never been in the faith? So this is talking to believers, is it not? Oh yeah, talking to Christians, to believers. That some of believers will depart from the faith because they will give heed to seducing spirits, huh? And give heed to doctrines of devils. Imagine that. These are Christians, born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, all of that. And yet, some of them will depart because they start listening to seducing. Think about the word seduce. That's benign, right? That's a creepy thing. That's slow and steady and subtle and unbeknownst to you. Doesn't have to be, but I've seen it. And you may have too. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Speaking lies. He's talking to Christians now. Demons speaking lies to them. In hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. How does that play out? Here's how it particularly plays out. Plays out the lives of believers who can't be taught anything. They go from one church to another church to another one to another one. Because they haven't found a true preacher yet. It's not funny. It really isn't funny. Listening to seducing spirits. Christians who refuse to be taught. Who think they, only they know it all. No pastor in town is good enough for them. They wouldn't even belong to a church if Jesus was a pastor. Amen. Because you remember now, Jesus at one point talked about giving his body as bread and so on. Some people thought, What is it? We're going to eat his flesh, and you know they left him? Oh yeah, they often left him. They left. They're like, we're not following this guy anymore. Listening to doctrines of devils. Look at 1 Timothy 5. Here's what the Bible tells pastors to do. And some of us try to do it, and folks don't like it. And give us a choice between obeying Jesus, obeying them. Well, guess what we're going to do? I'm going to obey him. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look at verse 19. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. And then he says, them that sin, rebuke before all, that others may fear. Ooh. How many Christians want to be rebuked or will stand in the church if they're rebuked? Bless God, you're not the only pastor in town. Pastor support. Timothy was a pastor. Paul's telling him, you're going to have to rebuke some folk. Sternly warn them. I haven't quite done that. Well, one little sheepish attempt. Oh, Jesus. Right? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. We talk about doctrines of devils. Christians yielding, don't want to be corrected, think they know it all, 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Verse 2. Out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Huh? Exhort. With all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Because it doesn't, they don't like it. It's not what they think. But after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. He's talking to Christians now. Believers. Look at Titus. Titus chapter number 1. Look at verse 13. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. Ooh. That they may be sound in the faith. So these are folks who are already in the faith and are supposed to be sound in it, and it's going to take a sharp rebuke. My. Look at Titus chapter 2. Look at verse number 15. These things speak, again, Titus also a minister. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Okay? Look at Hebrews chapter 12. In the last days, the Bible says, some believers will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and think that they are right. I've said it again. If you go to a church and you've been going there for years, and the pastor has never said anything close that will make you go, ouch, you may be in the wrong church, sir. Amen. Every now and then, pastor ought to say something that you think, ooh, I don't know about that. And then, great, then go check it out. Be a Berean. Go to the Bible and say, is that really so, Lord? I don't know about that, Lord. Yeah. Amen. But folks sit there and hear pleasant words. Nothing ever stirs them up. And yeah, you know. Yeah. Okay. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse number 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. And don't faint when you are rebuked of him. Amen. God, how does God chasten? Not with cancer, not with sickness or disease. He chastens with the word. If your heart is tender before God, God will, in some case, sometimes will say things to you, and you go, I don't really want to do that, but I guess I don't have to. Huh? And the Lord will chasten you through the preaching of your man of God, or woman of God. If they were bold enough to say what the Lord says, don't despise that. Don't up and leave the church because of that. Sit there and take it. Go to the scriptures and check out, make sure it's so. And then do the correction. If not, you're putting yourselves in a way on a slippery slope when you start yielding to doctrines of devils that are designed to please your ear without ever challenging you and getting you to think about anything. When you come to church, you get your 3 points and a poem. Go home and check a box. I went to church this morning. What'd you learn? I don't know, but no, I went to church. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's talk about demonic influence. Just a couple more minutes and then I'll wrap this up. Demonic influence, oppression, obsession, and possession, in that progression. Demonic influence, oppression, obsession, possession. The devil doesn't just up and possess people like the man of Gadara. It's a process. It takes a while. If you keep yielding and yielding and yielding. So let's define demonic influence. Demonic influence starts with a suggestion. Always a suggestion. The devil suggested a bunch of things to Jesus. Remember that? Since you're hungry, haven't just finished fasting, why don't you turn these rocks into bread? Suggestion. The devil has never made you do anything in your life. Or me either. He's always suggested. Demonic influence starts with a suggestion. Whenever Peter sought to stop Jesus from going to the cross, that came by way of suggestion. And it was aimed at Jesus. And eventually in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had to go through that. Lord, is this the only way? Amen. Jesus was fully human and fully God. And because he was fully human, he knew he was going to hurt badly. Badly hurt. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And so, we have to always test suggestions. Think about this now. When Jesus said, "Who do men say I am? Who do you say I am?" The suggestion came to Peter. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he was right to follow that suggestion. But just a couple of, I don't know how long, minutes later, moments later, when Jesus starts talking about going to the cross and dying, another suggestion came. You can't let him do that. That's beneath him. He should have known to say, If he said it, it must be okay. So watch out for suggestions. Amen? Amen. Check suggestions. Analyze suggestions. So you find out where they're coming from. What is the goal of this suggestion that just came to me? If I follow it, where is it taking me? Into God or away from God? Just because you had a godly suggestion one moment does not mean the next one is going to be godly. Like I've said before, the devil never misses church services. He's there while you're praying. So analyze every single solitary suggestion. Don't assume that just because you had a godly thought that the following thoughts at least the next two or three of them are going to be godly. Not so. Learn to isolate the godly thoughts so you can not refuse to follow the ungodly ones. Suggestion. Demonic influence starts with a suggestion. Amen. Believers must always test suggestions that come to them. And how you test it? Test it by the word. Does this suggestion agree with the word or not? Peter should have known the word was talking to him. So what he said must be so. Amen. But he didn't. All right. What about oppression? We'll see this and then we'll go on. We'll quit. Under oppression, the victim still has control, but can choose to be delivered. In other words, by the time you get to oppression, you have traveled in the wrong direction a little bit, but you're still able to extricate yourself. Okay, and oppression usually let me show you. Look at the Book of Acts. Oppression usually has a physical component. Book of Acts chapter 10. The Bible lets us know. Book of Acts chapter 10 verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. Huh? Who were oppressed of the devil. And so oppression, we know, tends to be related to physical illness, sicknesses, can be mental as well, of course, like we've just talked about. And you have a way out. You're not too far gone yet. In fact, you're never too far gone. It just means that you are into it in the wrong direction. All right, our time is up, and we'll pick up next time. We'll talk about obsession and. Well, that's it. I think I mentioned obsession and talked about oppression. Okay. I meant to talk about oppression there. Oppression. We'll talk about obsession next time and possession and go. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. We thank you for your word and its revelation. The devil is under our foot. Oh, yeah. No question about it. Thank you for knowledge about who he is, what he does, how he does it, and knowledge about who we are and our authority over him and all of his minions in the name of Jesus and our calling to be available to help people who are oppressed, obsessed, or possessed by him. We have a command. We've been deputized. You've deputized us to help set people free. We mean to do it. Thank you for equipping us with the necessary knowledge and wisdom to do so. We praise you, Father. We bless you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Friend, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Time to know him. Go into this new year with a new relationship, relationship with Jesus, one that will sort out all your other relationships. In fact, will sort out all of your life. Put it on the footing that he called abundant life. And all you have to do is be sincere and pray this prayer with me. That's all you, if you mean it, it'll happen. And so, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior. Thank you for dying for me. I receive my prayer language. I receive direction to hook up with a church where I'll be taught how to live the abundant life. I receive healing. I receive direction in my finances. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer, he did exactly what he said he would do. He is not a man that he should lie. So you can be confident that you've got him in your corner now. The challenges of life are not necessarily going to cease. In some cases, you might become a target now. But not to worry, no fear. Because you've got more than enough in your corner to handle. Your attitude ought to be, bring it on, bring it on. Glory to God. Amen. We love you, and you're welcome to come to this church. We have plenty of room here for you. If not, keep watching, because we're going to be back same time next week. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.